Fantastic. Awesome. Now, well, I was in Brisbane with Pastor Stephen Coppin, Pastor Nigel and Andrea, and of course my wife. You know, Pastor Stephen is going to preach shortly. Anyway, we left early in the morning and we had to get Stephen to the airport. And so why am I telling you this story? Because I just want you to get a bit of an insight to this man here. So we're heading off, we're driving down the M1 Pacific Highway heading to the airport, and we come up a traffic jam on the freeway, and he's got to catch a plane, right? And we've given it plenty of time. So after about half an hour, we're going, Steve, looks like you'll be here another night. Anyway, Steve was so cool. He was so calm. He was so collective. He was just fantastic, just great. And he did miss his plane, and Qantas did look after him. He got the next flight home. And Steve, he's just a wonderful father. Is he a wonderful husband, Angela? He is. Tell me if he isn't, because I'll sort him out after. Don't worry about that. Okay, Steve is married to lovely Angela here, has a beautiful daughter, Hannah. They have been a part of our church for nearly 2 years. And Steve's heart is for the kingdom of God, is for the church, to see the house of God be built, to see your best life come to pass. That's what Steve's heart is about. And it was great spending time with him. He's a great guy, and we can hear from Pastor Steve this morning. Come on up, Steve.
Thanks, Pastor Charlie. Yeah, Charlie's got the Ricardo racing blood in his veins. We raced like anything to make it to the airport. Charlie's a great driver. He got us through the traffic, but we just didn't quite make it in time. How are you doing? All good? Yeah, no, I had a great time in the C3 conference, especially spending time with Pastor Nigel and Andrea. I just want to honour them this morning. They're a great couple. You know, I just love them so much. And you know, and the work that they've established here, the building, the foresight to be able to get us into a building like this. There's so many churches out there that are still meeting in halls and other things like that. But we have our own building, and it's a good building. So I just want to honour them this morning. Just want to give them honour. You know, we had certain things happened over there in the Gold Coast. One was missing the plane. That was one little sideline. But then another morning, I think it was the second morning I was there, I thought, well, I'll go and have my shower and maybe go out for a walk. That was about 7:15 or so. And I heard the door shut, so I knew that Pastors Nigel and Andrew had gone out. So anyway, I had my shower, got dressed, and I went to get out of the room, and the door handle promptly fell off in my hand. And I thought, what am I going to do here? And, you know, I'm a man of resource. I can normally fix things, but I resorted all my options inside that bathroom laundry area. There wasn't one thing. I tried a little bit of a clip, and I tried this and tried that, and I sort of came to the realization that I'm not going to get out of here. I knocked on the door, I called out, no, there was no one there. So what did I do? I had to turn the lights off because it was getting so hot in there. I was starting to sweat. I was glad that I wasn't claustrophobic. I could have been in a bit of trouble then. So then all I could do was just sit on the loo. That was the only place I could sit and just pray. So we did that. God, just speak to them. Speak to them to come back. But they took their time. So they never got back till I was about 9. And I'm so glad they did, because they'd forgotten their breakfast vouchers. So otherwise they would have been longer. But anyway, I thought, seeing it's Father's Day, I better share a couple of jokes. One evening while we were sitting around the dining table, a little girl looked up and asked her father, "Daddy, you're the boss, right?" Her father was well pleased by this and replied, "Yes." Then the little girl continued, "That's because Mummy put you in charge, right?" And then this other one. After the church service, a little boy told the pastor, when I grow up, I'm going to give you some money. Well, thank you, the pastor replied. But why? Because my dad says that you're one of the poorest preachers we've ever had. So hopefully I can be better than that. Now, the title of my message this morning, I better just check some time, make sure I get that right. The title of my message this morning is The Promise. And I just want to read from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. And it says, the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and your name will be great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those, I will curse him who curses you. And you and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And we'll come back to that. You know, it's about 10 years ago to this day that Andrew and I were in China, and we're just getting ready to, I think probably by this stage, be at the airport to take our newly adopted baby daughter home. This was a very long process, and I know for the first time in my life, you know, here was I, a father holding a baby. You know, when we first got married, you know, you stereotype how you think life's going to be. And for me it was, we get married, we have children, we buy a house, we have children, we live happily ever after, we have grandkids, and then we die, or something like that. I was a non-Christian. That was what it was portrayed like. After we were married, after a certain length of time, we found out that we couldn't have children. And that was a pretty devastating sort of blow. You know, I wanted to be a father. Angela wanted to be a mother. We wanted to have a family. And so what did we do? It was tough. And during that period, or probably about a year later, we got introduced to Christ. Angela's brother actually led us to the Lord. And then I had something to base my faith on. I always believed there was a God, but I didn't know I could have a relationship with him. And then I found some promises in God's word that God wanted us to be fruitful and multiply. That I found in Psalms where it says your wife should be like a fruitful vine and your children should be like olive plants around your table. I found some promises in God's word. And it gave me hope that we would be parents. Now, it didn't happen as I'd wanted it to happen. And it's amazing. You know, God can give all of us a promise. We can all have a promise. You can find a promise in God's word for your situation. But, you know, sometimes that promise takes a long time to come. And during that time, we can get discouraged. We can get downcast. We can even stop going to church. And we can just give up. But God wants you to hold on to the promises that he's given you. So I held on to that promise. And time went on. And it got harder. Well-meaning people would always come and give you good advice, but never from the same situation that you were in. Sometimes we might get a prophetic word from someone and it just stirred that promise up again to believe God. But as time went on, I began to think, well, this is probably it for us. Maybe this isn't going to happen. Then I was challenged by a pastor and he said, maybe you put God, you're wanting God to do it one way. Maybe he has another way. Maybe sometimes how we figure out something or how we think it's going to happen isn't the way that God wants to do it. And because it isn't happening the way we want it to happen or as fast as we're wanting it to happen, then we give up or we throw our toys out of the cot or we stop going to church or we stop fellowshipping. But we've got to give God time. And we've got to keep doing the things that we know that we have to do. So I never stopped going to church. I was always in church. Never stopped praying. Never stopped reading the Word. So I was challenged. And so we looked at other options and other avenues that we could go, or that we could go down. And the adoption avenue came up. And it was quite a long process, and during that time, we could have had plenty of times where we could have thought, wow, this is so hard. We have to go through all these, you have to do all these day sessions, and you've got to listen to all these social workers tell you a whole lot of stuff that you're not in agreement with, so that just so you don't want them to say that you're not suited for the job. So we did all that, and then we had our home study all ready to be presented to China. But then even when it left, we didn't know whether we'd been accepted. Didn't know it at all. And I remember the day that when that letter came through the post, it was Angela's birthday. So it was a great birthday present. And there was a picture of a little baby girl. And she was beautiful. And it just said, if you want to, just sign this form. We signed really quick, and we sent it away. And then within, must have been only about 8 weeks, we were over in China. And I remember to this day, it was like we'd got into this hotel room. There were 8 other couples that came with us from New Zealand. And we're all sitting around, and they wanted to just brief us on what was going to happen and how they were going to bring these babies in. And they were going to screen their heads off, and this would be like that probably for a whole week. And but over time, you know, that you'll probably find they'll connect with you and this sort of thing. And Angela looked, she said to me, "Oh, I just want to go home." I said, "It'll be right," because I'd prayed. I was trusting God. You know, before I went, I said, "God," because we didn't have any. You know, we couldn't choose the baby we wanted. But long before we even started that process, I was saying, "God, you've got the right baby for us. You've got the right baby for us." And so when they handed Hannah to us, while all the other babies were screaming around, because one other thing I'd prayed, I said, "God, let us sense something of the Spirit of God in us. Let us sense something of the Spirit of God in us." And they handed Hannah to us, and she didn't cry. All the others were screaming their heads off. Everyone, it was just a mayhem, but here she was just taking it all in. And we thought, wow, finally we're parents. Finally I'm a father. We took her back to that room, our room tonight. So we had another 2 weeks in China with this baby. We've got her. Man, what do we do now? All these years of waiting. All these years of looking at other people bringing up kids and saying, "Oh, we'd do this or we'd do that." It's totally different when you actually have your own baby, carrying your own, holding your own child. And we sat her in the, we thought, "Well, we better give her a bath," We tried to sit her in the bath. I don't think she'd ever had one because she just went rigid. I can't push her down. So I had to bathe her standing up. So it was a learning process. And I remember thinking, during that time, I thought, "God, are we going to be able to manage this? It's been so long, but it's amazing what God can do through you." And God was really gracious because she was such a great baby. We could sort of like put her down at 6:30 at night, and she'd wake at 6 in the morning, like clockwork every day. You could put her down at 1 in the afternoon, and she'd wake at 3. You could go to someone's place and have a meal or put her down at 6:30 and just wake her up when we're ready to go and put her back down when we got home and she went to sleep. I think over that whole time, we only ever got up maybe once or twice to her that whole time. So I could say that we were really, really blessed. And I just realized that as a father, the awesome responsibility that God has entrusted into me or into my hands, that I'm responsible to shape her life. That I want her to have her best life, but I want her to be walking with God as well. And I've realized that as a father, what I do at home, she will replicate as she gets older. So I can't just tell her that you should be doing this or you should be doing that if I'm not even doing that in my own life as well. So I need to shape her and help her grow into the woman of God that she's destined to be. So it's an awesome responsibility to be a father. And I just really wanted to share that just because it is Father's Day. And that as fathers, not only do we have to look after our wives, we definitely have to look after our wives. And I'm still working on looking after my wife a little bit better than I am at times. So not only do we have to look after our wives, but we have to look after our children. Because the children are a blessing from God. So for every father that's here, you know, your children may muck up at times. They may do things that upset you. But they're still a blessing from God. They're still a blessing from God. Now, God's entrusted you with these children to bring them up, to love Him, and to follow Him, to serve Him. So let's get back to Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3. This was God's promise to Abraham. You could say the promise revealed. As I said before, what has God promised you? You know, when God gave that promise to Abraham, he was 75 years old. I mean, I know they lived a little bit longer in those days, but still 75 years was quite a long time. And he hadn't had any children at all. But he learned to trust God. He stepped out in obedience to God's word. You know, if God tells you to do something, even though it looks very difficult in the natural, I just encourage you to step out. Step out and just see what He'll do. Abraham learned to trust God to lead him one step at a time. His faith grew as he stepped out. Unless you ever step out, your faith's never ever going to move into action. Unless you step out, you're never ever going to grow in God. You've got to step out. You've got to believe Him. You know, sometimes we find it hard taking a step because we don't know what the other steps are. You know? I'll take a step if I know that this step's going to lead me to that step. But God doesn't always reveal the steps to us. You know, we were believing for a baby, but it wasn't the way that God had wanted us to have it. We had a baby, but it wasn't the way that I'd thought. And sometimes, you know, life just dishes up things that aren't what we'd expect. But God is always there. He is always there. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Can you imagine Sarah saying, when Abraham came to Sarah and said, "Oh, look, God's just spoken to me, and we're going to leave this. We're going to leave this town or leave this city. We're going to leave our friends. I'm not sure where we're going, but God's going to show the way. God's going to show the way." I can imagine, "Abraham, are you sure? Well, God, where are we going?" "Well, I don't know, but God's spoken. God's spoken." Let's go to Genesis 15. Sometimes we need to keep the promise alive. You know, it's fine getting a promise, but you've got to keep it alive. So it may be a prophetic word that you've been given. It may be just someone, we can have a promise, get disappointed, stop coming to church. But if we stayed in church, there'd be others around us to encourage us with the word that God's given us. And they'd help us to stay on course. But so often, because we get discouraged, we decide we'll leave church. And that's really where we need to be. We need to be around the group of fellow believers who will help and believe with us. Now, Abraham, after a certain length of time, I suppose he was starting to get a little bit despondent. You know, God, you'd promised that, you know, I was going to be a great blessing, that, you know, there was an inheritance for me. But I'm childless, and I'll just read from verses 2. "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." Then Abraham said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying," the word of the Lord, the promise from God. He said, "This one shall not be your heir, but the one will come from you, from your own body shall be your heir." And then he brought him outside and says, "Look towards heaven and count the stars, if you're able to number them." And he said to them, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed in the Lord, and it accounted him for righteousness. That Abraham believed God. God gave him vision. He could look up. He could see the stars. And every time he looked up and saw the stars, he thought, "These are going to be my descendants." I think in the previous chapter, he was looking at the sand, the grains of sand. These would be his descendants. Abraham had a definite word from God about his future. He knew what God had promised, but he had no indication about when the promise would be fulfilled. So we can have that promise, but we don't know when it will be fulfilled. And while we're waiting for our promise to come, waiting for that breakthrough, we may grow frustrated or impatient. You know, sitting in that waiting room of life is never easy. Sometimes we're forced to get in our flesh, and because it doesn't seem to be working the way you're thinking it would and the way that you think God's going to work, you go and try and make it happen. And what happens when you go out and try and make something happen? You end up with an Ishmael. So many times in my life, I've gone out and made a decision because I thought, well, this looks good. To my natural eyes, to my natural senses, this looks good. Did I really ask God and seek God what he said? No. So generally, it's always turned out to be a bit of a failure. So I've learned over the years that I need to seek God and trust him. Because God will speak to you. God will encourage you. He'll never let you down. He'll never let you down. So don't try and make it happen, because you'll just end up with an Ishmael like Abraham and Sarah did. It seemed a great idea. It seemed a great idea. But that wasn't God's plan. And time is moving on. Let's turn now to Genesis 21. Now, you could probably look, there's a lot of times that God encourages Abraham. He changes his name. I've been calling him Abraham. It was Abram in those early chapters. God changes his name in Genesis 18. God comes and tells them that they're definitely having a baby, and Sarah had a laugh. But let's go over to Genesis 21. I've just said Genesis 21, the promise fulfilled. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham, a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son, who was born to him, who Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 80 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son was born to him. So it took 25 years from the initial promise from God for Abraham to get out of his country to the time that he was holding his own son, a seed from his own body through his wife, Isaac. As a father, I just can imagine how proud Abraham must have been holding this baby, the baby of the future, Isaac. I can imagine him as he was growing up, just taking him amongst all the people. Here's my son. This is what God promised me. Here he is. I can imagine him with Isaac hand in hand. Look up there, Isaac. See the stars. God promised me years ago that you'd be one. There's all of my descendants. Look at the sand. And he would have been inputting into Isaac. And for the sake of time, you know, we can receive a promise from God, and then sometimes God requires something from us. And that's really another story. But you can read that as you carry on in reading Genesis. So Abraham received that promise. So this morning, I just want to encourage you. What has God promised to you? It may be a husband. It may be a wife. It may be a job. Don't give up. Don't give up. Hold on to him. If you feel discouraged, get around others and they can encourage you. They can encourage you. You know, in closing, we've got a Heavenly Father who loves us so much. You know, you may be here this morning and you've never really experienced a Father's love. Your father, maybe your earthly father, wasn't the best guy. He didn't hang around or wasn't there for you when you needed him. I was blessed. I had a really good father. He was always there. You may have had a father that just mistreated you and abused you. But I want to tell you about a Heavenly Father this morning who loved you so much that he would send his son, Jesus Christ, down to this earth to pay the price for your sins, to give you a life that that we could never have. He loved us. He saw past what we've done wrong. And he went to that cross for us, Jesus, the Savior of the world. And maybe this morning, you know, you may have been around church. You may have come to church with your parents. But you've never, ever asked Jesus to come into your heart and be your Lord and be your Savior. You know, I used to go to church when I was a youngster, always around church, but never knew that I could have a relationship. I never knew, always believed in a God, but never knew that God would speak to me or I could speak to Him. And this morning, I want to give you that opportunity to meet Jesus. Because Jesus wants you to have your best life. And until He comes into your heart, there's always a void. There's always an emptiness there. Sure, you can go out and do things. But it will never, ever fulfill that void. Because Jesus is the only one that will fulfill that. So this morning, in a couple of minutes, just while every head would be bowed and every eye closed, what I'm going to get you to do in a moment is just to put your hand up and just to acknowledge that to me. Because this morning, I'd really love to pray with you. Pray with you. And see you come to know Him as Savior. So if every eye would be bowed just right now. And you're saying, maybe something's just, your heart's just racing right now. And you're saying, that's me. That's me. I need you, Jesus. Could you just put up your hand and I'll see it? If there's anyone here this morning, you just put your hand up and I'll see it and we'll pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Father, we thank you. Lord, we just thank you for your Spirit right now, Lord. Father, we just thank you for your anointing. We just thank you for your anointing.